Could I get you all to take out your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, that might be a wee bit harder to find, but if you look in the New Testament, and you'll see maybe Acts, Romans, and there you'll find after those two books, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And then you might see other books, 1 Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Do you see any of those books? You're close. But it's in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and the chapter number 15. And we insert, turn it up. I'll get myself sorted out here. That's 1 Corinthians and the chapter 15. And can I thank the church here and also Reverend Higginson for the opportunity to come along this morning and this evening to do your children's day, and boys and girls, you did really well this morning. And I thought, well, how are they going to get any better tonight? But you really did even better than this morning tonight. And you know, whenever I go from church to church and I'm preaching in different places, so often, boys and girls, you can miss out on ministering to yourself and blessing yourself. Well, you've really blessed me today with the words you read, with how you sang, and all the different things that you did. And it was a real blessing to me. So I want to thank you very much for that tonight. So 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. 1 Corinthians 15 and the first 8 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So as we did this morning, after reading the most important book, the Scriptures, we'll all bow our heads now, and all the boys and girls will sit up straight, fold their arms, and bow their heads. And mums and dads can do that as well. And we'll ask the Lord for his help. Our Heavenly Father, we come this evening and we thank you for every boy and girl that you brought in tonight again. We thank you, Lord, for the help that you gave them in taking part. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing and the ministry they've been to us today. But Lord, we desire, Lord, if there's any boy or girl that is not saved, we desire that tonight, O God, as they would see what Jesus Christ has done for them, that they will come to him, that they'll turn from their sin, and that they'll place their trust in him. Lord, may it be so tonight. May children turn from their sin, and may they put their trust in Jesus Christ. May mums and dads tonight, perhaps only in for their children, may they too as well come to know Jesus Christ as their own and as their personal Savior. Lord, help us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, boys and girls, tonight I want to consider another question. This morning the question we considered was, who was Jesus Christ? But tonight the question I want to ask is, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? And I want to just look at a few things that the Lord Jesus Christ did that was recorded for us in the portion of Scripture that we just read and in other parts of the Bible. You know, boys and girls, back 2,000 years ago in the land of Israel, there have been people walking about Israel with these. What's this here? Do you know? Very good. It's a walking stick. And why would somebody need something like this here? Do you know? Because they can't walk. And boys and girls, if you have one of these here, it means you've maybe got a sore hip, or something's wrong with you, and you're not really walking that well. And there was loads of people around the time of Jesus Christ that used to walk about in Israel with these here, because they had hurt themselves, or else it was because maybe perhaps they couldn't even walk, and this was the only thing that they could lean upon to stand up on their feet. There was also other people that walked about, boys and girls, and they had hurt their hands, or they had did something else, and my medicine spilt over here, how long? I brought medicine with me, but it spilt. And they would have things like these, boys and girls, well not really, but they would have bandages. And they would have had to have bandaged up their hands or bandaged up their legs because of awful diseases that would have came upon them. They would have had to bandage up their hands or something else to protect them from getting diseases. But there's a lot of people like that with wounds or diseases that caused awful things to happen to their body. And then there would have been people around the time of Jesus Christ that would have had to take something a wee bit like this. Medicine. Because they were sick. And all these people, boys and girls, they were all sick. And there was loads of people around the time of Jesus Christ that were sick. And they couldn't help themselves. They couldn't heal themselves. They didn't have the medicine that we have nowadays. They didn't have the doctors we have nowadays. They didn't have the different types of things that can heal you as we have. And Jesus Christ comes along. And the first thing that Jesus Christ does is this. He begins to heal people. He begins to heal people. See that man that needed the walking stick to walk? Jesus Christ goes over and he heals him and he begins to walk okay. That person with maybe, like that woman, an issue of blood, and she tried all the medicines. The Lord Jesus Christ healed her. And there's many other people like that. Now, how did Jesus Christ heal these people? Did Jesus Christ use something like this here? What's this here? You know? What's this here? A first aid kit. Now, if you cut your finger or if you slice your knee, your mum will probably take this out and she'll reach in and pull out an antiseptic wipe and she'll get out the plaster and she'll stick you all up and you'll need one of these here. Did Jesus Christ have one of these? No, he didn't. Jesus Christ, whenever he healed people, boys and girls, he didn't use any medicines. He didn't use any bandages. He didn't use any trickery of the mind. No. Jesus Christ healed people by a miracle. He literally went up to someone that perhaps couldn't walk, and he said to that person, take up your bed, get up on your feet, and walk. And that person just got straight up. Remember what we told you this morning? Jesus Christ wasn't like you and me. He was special. And he was able to do those things. But why did Jesus Christ heal people? What was the whole purpose in this? Was it just so he could be kind? No, it wasn't that. Jesus Christ did those miracles, healing all the sick, to show us, first and foremostly, who he was. That he was God. That he had the power to do those things. And the second reason he did it was that he had compassion. And boys and girls, we have a sickness tonight. Oh, it's maybe not a physical sickness. You mightn't be able to see this sickness, but our sickness is the sickness of sin. Not just do the boys and girls have it, but the mums and dads have it, and the grown-ups have it. We all have this sickness of sin within our lives. It takes over our hearts. It makes us do things that are against God and what God hates. But Jesus Christ is able to heal us of that sickness. He is able to heal us of that sickness. Boys and girls, the second thing I want to consider tonight, what Jesus Christ has done, is that he died for our sins. So he healed the sick. The second thing is, he died for our sins. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to a place called Calvary. And there in that place called Calvary, there he went to a cross. And for all those sins that you had committed, like lying and being disobedient that we talked about this morning, Jesus went to the cross and there he died for your sin. And he died to take it away. He died that you wouldn't have to endure the punishment for it. And boys and girls, remember this morning I gave you a wee illustration of what it meant for Jesus to die on a cross. We want to give another illustration of that, that'll add a bit of clarity to it. You see, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And our sin is a bit like this black coat. And this is perhaps just a wee bit like the illustration I gave this morning. And our lives, boys and girls, are covered with sin. The way this black coat covers me. And we're completely covered with this sin. And when God looks down from heaven, God sees us as sinners because of the sins that we have committed in our lives. And God can't look past our sin because He's a good God. God looks at us and sees us for all the things that we've did against Him. But when Jesus Christ went to Calvary, and when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, remember the illustration this morning, Jesus Christ, what did He do? He took our sin. And He took our sin away from us. Get my hand out. And He took our sin from off us. And boys and girls, He took it away. And then what He did was He gave us His perfect life. And imagine this t-shirt is like the perfect life of Jesus Christ. And what He did was He took away our sin. And He gave to us His perfect righteousness. And He put it on us, His perfect righteousness. And now that means when God looks down from heaven, God no longer sees our sin. No, God sees only His own Son's perfectness, His perfection. And that means, boys and girls, that we no longer will have to be punished for those sins that we have committed. That means, mums and dads, for all the years of sin, of all the years of sin that you've committed against God, perhaps even last night or Friday night you were out in the world and you were sinning against God, no thought of God. Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. And there He took all of your sin. And tonight you can have His righteousness. You can have His righteousness put onto your account. If you will come to Him, you'll turn from your sin and you will trust Him. You see, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ on us, God can no longer punish us for sin because He doesn't look at us as sinners. Now, the third thing that Jesus Christ did was this. He not just healed the sick, and He didn't just die on a cross for our sins, but when He died on the cross, He just didn't stay dead, but He rose again from the dead. He rose again from the dead. And I wonder if you ever thought about that, boys and girls. The absolute amazing miracle that that was. Our mums and dads, have you ever thought about it? This man, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and was buried for 3 days, He was definitely dead. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead. This man that people had seen hanging on a cross and was crucified, His body was torn in pieces. Yet He rose again from the dead. You see, God came on that third day. And God caused Jesus Christ to rise up from the dead. And now Jesus Christ lives. But why? How can we be sure? How can we be sure? How can we be sure that, you know, that verse we read tonight in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, it says that He rose again from the dead. But how can we really be sure He rose from the dead? Well, we also read that He was seen of 500 people at once. Now, I'm not sure if there's 500 people in here or not, but there's a roughly, you know, at least a good couple of hundred in here. And you think about how big 500 people must be. And you think of all those people seeing Jesus Christ at the one time. And they all went away from Him and they said, yes, that man definitely did rise again from the dead. And then He went to His apostles and He showed Himself unto His 12 apostles and they seen that He had rose again from the dead. And then He went to Paul, He went to Cephas and He showed Himself unto them that they had rose again from the dead. And perhaps, boys and girls, you'll go into your school someday and your teacher, your friends might say, you don't believe that. Jesus Christ, rising again from the dead on the third day. A dead man living again. Do you really believe that? You can say yes. You can say yes, I do believe that. Because there's evidence of it. The 500 witnesses at one time, the 12 apostles seen Him, and them other two men, Paul and Cephas, also seen Him. There is loads of evidence that Christ rose again from the dead. But why? Why would God raise Jesus Christ up from the dead? What was the whole purpose in it? Well, the purpose was this, to show that the sacrifice Jesus Christ had done for us on the cross, to show that when He died for our sins, that God was happy with that sacrifice, that God had accepted that sacrifice, to prove to the world that Jesus Christ had taken away our sin. And Jesus Christ rising again from the dead is a bit like this here. Now, you should maybe not guess what this is. You maybe have to be a bit older to guess what this is. But does anybody want to take a guess? Any boy or girl, what do you think this is? Anybody? Everybody over here? Do you know? Nope. Do you know? A receipt. Good girl. Didn't think anybody would get this. This is a receipt from Fife's in Macrofelt for an air filter, engine flush, and engine oil that I got on Saturday. Now, what does this receipt tell me? This receipt tells me that my bill has been paid. This receipt is my proof that the parts that I have sitting at my house belong to me, and they don't belong to that other person. And Jesus Christ rose again from the dead as our receipt, boys and girls, to show to the world that he had purchased us, that he had paid the debt of our sin. You might sing a song up here. We sing it in Macrofelt. It says, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long, for Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And boys and girls, Jesus Christ did pay the debt of sin on the cross. And he rose again from the dead, and that is our receipt to prove that he has paid the debt for our sin. He has paid the debt for our sin. But after he rose from the dead, hold on, I left that down too early. After he rose again from the dead, he then ascended up into heaven. So you may wonder, well, where's he at now? He died, he was buried for 3 days, and he rose again from the dead, but where did he go? He went up into heaven. He went up into heaven. And he's now at this very moment, right now, as me and you are sitting in this church, he's in heaven. And he's praying for us. He's praying. He's praying that boys and girls would trust in him. He's praying that mums and dads, grannies and grandads, that they'll trust in him. And he is willing that no one in this meeting tonight would perish in their sin, but that everyone in this meeting would come to him and find his salvation, experience what it is to have their debt of sin paid for. Mums and dads, this can be your experience tonight. You can know what it is to have your sin debt paid for because we have Jesus Christ in heaven. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. And he will never, ever cease to be in heaven because he is alive forevermore. He's alive forevermore. He died once and he'll never die again. You remember that, boys and girls? Jesus Christ, he died once and he will never, ever die again. I want to bring out one more wee object. And again, I want you to try and guess what this is. What do you think this is? That wee girl down there, no? A hammer, yes, but maybe a bit more specific. Who uses this hammer? That's a better... Do you know? No, not a joiner. I don't think that would be any good for hammering in nails. Do you think you know?
I know.
Very good. A judge uses this. So what happens is, hopefully, boys and girls, you'll never end up in court. Or mums and dads, hopefully you've never been in court. But what the judge will do is, he'll pass the sentence. He'll say innocent or guilty. And he'll take his hammer and he'll go like that. And that will mean that everything's done. Everything's finished. His verdict is made. But this reminds me, boys and girls, this hammer and mallet reminds me of when Jesus Christ will come again. You see, he has healed the sick. He died for our sins on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He ascended up into heaven, but there's one day he's coming back again, and he will come again, and he's coming as a judge. He came the first time to Mary in a manger in Bethlehem as a wee baby, but the second time he's coming as a judge, and I wonder, are you ready to meet him? You see, in that day when Jesus Christ comes as a judge, he's going to divide all those that were saved onto one side, and all those that are not saved onto the other side. And all those that are saved, he's going to pronounce the judgment over them. He's going to say, yous are all innocent for your sins. Your debt has been paid. Yous can go into heaven. And that will be the sentence done for them. But for the side that are not saved, for the side whose debt has never been paid, for those that never trusted Jesus Christ and turned from their sin, God will have to say to them, your sin, you still have your sin. And because I am a good God, I have to punish you for your sin. And he will say, listen, you will have to go out into hell for all eternity. And the sentence will be passed. You see, he's coming as a judge. He's coming as a judge. But the wonderful invitation is this, boys and girls, and the question is this, are you ready to meet him? You can be tonight. You can be. Just remember what I told you this morning. How to get saved. You must turn from your sin. Turn from it. Leave it all. And trust in Jesus Christ. And the same for the children is the same for the mom and dads. Perhaps there's one in here tonight. And you enjoy your sin. You enjoy it. It causes you no problems. Your conscience isn't even convicted of it. You enjoy going out at the weekend. You enjoy having bad relationships. I would encourage you with what the gospel says and what the gospel commands. Repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. And turn to the only one that can save you from your sin. And when you turn to the one that can save you from your sin, see him as the one that died for your sins, that's able to take away the sin from off you and give you his perfect righteousness so God will not judge you. Look at him like that and trust in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Perhaps you say, well, Andrew, you know, I'm only here today. Today's a once-off. I'm not really a church-goer. I'm not really a good person. I'm not really, you know, into all that church business. God would never want a person like me. If you come to Jesus Christ, he will save you. Guaranteed. I can guarantee you tonight that he will save you. Perhaps you say, you don't know what sin that I have committed. I'm too wicked. I'm too bad. I spent a whole lifetime in my sin. God would never want me now. I can guarantee again, if you'll come to Jesus Christ tonight, he will save you. He will save you. When he lived in this earth, he healed the sick. He then died on a cross for sinners to take away their sin. He then rose again from the dead. He ascended up into heaven. And one day he's coming back again. Are you ready to meet him, boys and girls? Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ when he comes? We don't know when he's coming, but I trust that you all are. I trust that everyone in this meeting tonight is saved, that your debt's paid, and that you've understood tonight what Jesus Christ has done for you and how he went to the cross and died for your sin. We'll hand back over to our brother, Mr. Higginson.